Breaking news, Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach is now on the air. Sources say they only got this job because everyone else was in jail or rehab. More at 11.
99% of the shit that the Bulls are again the media said about the president is bullshit. But the one thing they got right was that 3 a.m. tweet. He texts me at 2:30 in the morning. I'm in bed asleep with my wife. My phone, ding, ding, ding. I'm like, oh, what? I woke up and I was like, hey, yo, Tyrus, it's the president. I just filled California up with water. Governor's pissed. Look at these pictures. Post them tomorrow. LOL. I text him right back. You cold-blooded, Mr. P. Cold-blooded. I bet he was, man. You filled up all the reservoirs? All of them. Hashtag fuck that little fish. Not making this fish up. I'm not. And I'm sitting there, like, I'm texting with the president. Whole side of my face got hot. I turned to look, my wife was like, who in the fuck are you texting at 2:30 in the morning? President. Tell the bitch she can have you. So it's the president. Give me that. Tell him it's 2:30 in the morning and tell him to text you tomorrow. What? Would you like me to do it? No. Hey, Mr. P, my wife says it's late and that I gotta hit you tomorrow. Text me back right away. Okay, cool. Hashtag pussy whip.
That was Tyrus, former wrestler. You can see him every night on Gutfeld. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Let's Invade Portland and all the ships at sea. It's Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. We are the best podcast you aren't listening to. We talk about anything and everything on this show, and if you aren't offended in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
Or you're not listening.
I'm Brian Drake. He's Scott. Across the table, we got Ziggy. How's it going, Zig?
Yo, yo.
And to my right and your left is Coach. How are you, Coach?
Present.
All right. Got a lot on the list today. Gay marriage on suicide watch at SCOTUS. National Guard's going to bust heads in Portland. Trump will attend the mystery generals meeting. And your coffee may be killing you. All that and more on the show today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
We always start with the crazy on the way, silly things that happened to us on the way to the show or the day prior, the
or
days
since
prior.
Since the last show.
Or since. Scott, you got a big one.
Yeah, kind of.
That's not what she said.
I broke my wrist.
Did your wife push you down the stairs? She finally had enough and just went, you know.
She finally.
You walked into a door.
Yeah, she had enough with me. She said, here, I'll give you something else to think about.
I want to hear that 911 call.
That's right.
Yeah. My husband fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I called.
And they went, yeah, right. Yeah.
Help, she went crazy.
Scott, cough if you are under any duress at home.
Yeah, wink. Wink. Blink your eyes.
Yeah. That's no, hilarious. Yeah, you should see the other guy.
Well, tell us what
tall,
really...
Tall, slender, muscular, good-looking.
Tell us what really happened.
Unscathed.
He's doing just fine.
Yeah. Tell us what really happened so we don't get everybody thinking that your wife is an abuser.
You know, I play in this old man's indoor soccer league, and I saw this guy coming. I knew we were going to collide. I thought, all right, let's do it. Let's
get
collide.
Get back to the gym, buddy.
And I should have known better because this guy has a history of... hurting people and putting them in the hospital and such. And I thought, nah, I'll be fine. And we run into each other and I lose my balance a little bit. Put my hand down as I was going. You know, they say stop, drop, and roll. You know, yeah. I know that's for fires and stuff. But
no, that's for kind of everything.
In sports, you don't put your hand down. You roll, yeah, right? Yeah. Well, I forgot to roll. And my wrist reminded me that I'm going to roll from now on. So I tried to sleep it off and woke up like 10 times in the night. went in the next day and said, oh yeah, nice clean fracture right here, right on. There's a line that goes from the tip of the bone down through the. Anyways, so I'm the one arm bandit now.
Yeah, you got to do everything with one hand, right? How are you taking care of certain functions?
I'm telling you, it was a little awkward the other day. I had my daughter put my deodorant on for me because I couldn't.
Okay.
It was awkward.
TMI. So,
yeah. But everything, man, trying to open a jar with one hand, there's a lot of stuff. Carrying something, because I can't really do anything weight-bearing with my fingers because it just puts stress on the wrist. So okay. I've never been without a limb. I've made it this many years in life. I've broken some bones, not very many. But I've always had both hands and both feet and been pretty much okay. This is weird. I've got new sympathy for people who are in a cast for a long time or they've lost function of one of their arms or something. Now it's like, oh my gosh, I need to be, because it's a real thing. Try to do your belt. Try to do a belt with one hand.
Multiple times I've had a leg and an arm.
Well, I drove me around for 2 days.
You broke three elbows too.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying when I was younger.
No, last few days it's like I'm standing around the house waiting for my wife and my daughter to do stuff for me. Yeah, can you hold this? And my daughter comes to me.
And then people get tired of it.
She's like, hey, can you help me hang some shelves in my room?
Yeah, no.
Wait a minute.
Held up this splint thing. It goes all the way down around my elbow, so I can't twist my hand or arm. The reason it's down around the elbow is so that I can't twist.
Because that was the thing that hurts the most.
Yeah.
When you do.
They don't want me to flex my hand up or down, and they don't want me to twist my arm. It's like, oh, you don't want me to use it at all. She's like, yeah, you're getting the picture.
That's why it's in a cast.
Yeah. Then she threatened me. She says, in 2 weeks, you're going to come back, and if we haven't made significant progress, we're going to put a full cast on.
Oof.
Because that's two pieces, right? Like a clamshell.
Yeah, it's two pieces. So it's open on the top and the bottom, so it can expand and contract. Yeah. But it's still very limiting.
Ziggy, any crazy stuff from you?
I got up early today. That's pretty crazy.
All right.
Went to the gym.
Very nice. Well, my wife is still in Texas. She'll be home tomorrow night, which means I need to clean the house and pretend like I haven't been having a good time since she's been gone.
Is she going to come back with a cowboy hat and boots and all that
probably,
stuff?
Probably. But no, she's had a good
trip. Belt buckle the size of a cell phone.
That's right. Yeah, she's had a good time in Texas.
That's a small one.
Taking care of more of her father's affairs. So
you got to ease into it.
Yeah. But yeah, she'll be home when I get home from work Tuesday night. So,
well, let's hope everything's cleaned up and.
Well, yeah,
and are you gonna buy flowers or something?
Like I that? Usually do when she comes home from a trip. Yeah, so okay, I'll get flowers on the way home. And
to all the guys listening out there, both of you, get flowers when your wife comes home from stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I get her flowers every now and then. And we live with her aunt and uncle, and her aunt always turns to her uncle and says, how come you never get me flowers? You know, so it's a, you know, I'm scoring points twice.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, he don't like you.
That's the real reason you do it, right? Not really to honor her.
I get them from her. No, you know, there was one time I met her at the San Jose airport and she was coming back from Texas. This is before we were married. So I was waiting there with the flowers and it was supposed to be this nice homecoming. Well, she had taken Southwest Airlines. And there had been a
Southwest.
Southwest? Okay.
Southwest Airlines.
So there had been a big delay with her flight.
Southwest Airlines.
And
is the best.
When she came home, or when she came, you know, came to the airport, there was just smoke coming out of her ears. She was so mad because not only was the plane late, they had lost her luggage and all this and that. So this whole big homecoming I was expecting, like, hi, honey, here's your flowers. She just grabs them out of my hand and just huffs at me, you know, and her boots are clomping on the ground and she's just really.
Those points, did they show up later?
I hope so.
Points that you scored later?
I think they did. She married me after all. And so, yeah, that was a hard night for her. But I had this whole vision of this wonderful homecoming and a big hug. And no, she just grabbed the flowers.
At least she didn't slap you with them.
No, that's true. That's true. But yeah, I wound up running after her out of the airport. It's like, oh, wow. Honey, where are you going? I'm parked over here. You know, and it was a funny night.
Hey, props to you. You showed up at the airport, flowers in hand.
Yeah.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
That's, you're ahead of me. I've yet to do it. I'm going to try that one next, though.
All right.
I like that one.
All kinds
I have met her at the door when she's walked in the door of the house. I've met her with a glass of wine. There you go.
That's a good idea, too.
All
right, let's talk about the National Guard invading Portland. The National Guard will be deployed to Portland for the next 2 months following an order from the president. At least 200 National Guard members will be deployed to the city to, quote, protect federal property where protests are occurring pretty much daily, according to a memo from...
What are the protests?
They're protesting
ICE.
Yeah, protesting ICE. There was a big gathering last night outside of the ICE facility, and I was expecting, you know, the guard to show up and start busting heads. They didn't. But
that's been happening more and more, though.
It has, yes. Trump on last Saturday said he had authorized the use of full force if needed to suppress protests targeting immigration detention centers. Oregon's responded by suing the Trump administration, arguing that the deployment of the National Guard is unlawful. So what is this, the third or the fourth city he sent the guard to?
Like Chicago.
Yeah, D.C., Chicago. Maybe the third?
Yeah.
So, but Antifa's officially been classified as a terrorist group now, so we get to deal with them on a different level.
I mean, at some point, can we acknowledge that this has become a story when it never used to be a story? The idea of our government protecting our country and our assets, that should not be a non-story. That's just... We should be protecting our facilities and the whole thing. We live in a day and age where every man did what was right in his own eyes.
And they let the bad guys run rampant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's everything. It's the culture thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, but and I think all of us are to blame. Everybody's so afraid of being called a racist or a homophobe or, we would silently, by our silence, entertain the fact that there were more than two genders, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be, I was watching this, some little clip the other day, one of the ICE things, and here's this Karen, and she just walks up to this guy, and he's in full battle gear, full, you know.
All the armor.
All the armor, everything, like full helmets. She goes up and starts slapping the crap out of him.
Mm-hmm. Is that the video
and
where...
he put her down.
Yeah,
hard.
That's the one where they shoved her, and they shoved her so far away, she if you felt an earthquake that day, it's because she was a plus-sized young lady,
and
she landed on her rear end, and then they fired pepper balls at her.
She was slapping the crap out of him.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that was never a thing. You didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy told me.
There's another video of another such place where someone's grabbing the rifle of one of these federal agents, and as soon as he gets his hand on the barrel, the left hand of the officer comes out and he hits the dude right in the face and knocks him back a few feet. So that's a funny one, too.
Yeah, this should never happen. Growing up, my dad made it really clear. You are not allowed to hit your brother. Period. I say, well, what? No, what ifs. You are not allowed to hit your brother, period. End of discussion.
Now, you had more than one brother, though. Did you get your other brother to hit your brother?
It didn't matter. Insert either brother into that sentence. You're not allowed to hit him. No, never. And he would say, I don't hit you. You don't hit your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You hit your brother, I hit you.
So he made the rules, and then he enforced the rules.
Yeah.
See that? Now we're...
You ever test that rule?
One time. I hit one of my brothers, my middle brother, I hit him one time. And that was it.
Was it a good hit?
It was a let go of, he had a string around my finger and he slid it down between the gap of the car seats and he was pulling on the string. And my fingers jammed up against the seats and like he's like he's gonna take my finger off. So I gave him a quick little pop in the face.
Oh, so it wasn't
just to get him just to get him to let go. It worked. He let go, and then I went straight to my dad. I was like, Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm a dad. This is what happened. And he's like, you sure? He had to confirm the story with my brother, and then he told my brother, he's like, hey, by the way, no hitting your brother and no pulling their finger off either, okay? You got what you deserved. I doubt he even remembers that story.
Yeah. On that note, we'll be back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. We're going to talk about coffee now. I think the three of you here are serious coffee fans, right?
Hold on, I gotta take a sip.
Yeah, I'm the only one that goes for tea, and it turns out that because
that
of
goes,
that...
That goes along with you and your
he's a teetotaler.
What's his name? What's that cat's name?
Tea and Biscuits.
I don't know.
What?
I need more of a reference.
Marlo.
Yeah, my cat, yeah.
You and Marlo and tea.
That's right.
Yeah, that's, you know...
Oh, you actually meant cat. I thought you were talking about some guy.
No, I was talking about this dumb cat.
Oh. My cat is not dumb.
With the girl
my
name.
Cat is smarter than you.
So he's got his tea. Little his cat with a girl name, and he's got his tea with his little pinky extended, and you know.
Yeah. I don't talk about cats.
And because of that, I'm going to live longer than the three of you. Whether it's white or double shot espresso, many of us can't start the day without caffeine. This is from the Telegraph. A morning cup perks us up after a bad night's sleep, fuels our work days and workouts, and powers our social lives. Coffee is also rich in antioxidants, proven to protect us from heart disease and cancer. But before you reach for a refill, it's worth knowing that coffee has its downsides, too. Beyond the jitters and sleepless nights, caffeine and other plant compounds in coffee can affect everything from digestion to vitamin absorption to cholesterol, mood, and stress. Coffee has some surprising effects on our gut and overall health, says Katie Sanders, a specialist in gastroenterology. And she says, like most things in nutrition, it's not a one-size-fits-all. It can spike your cortisol. Caffeine stimulates the nervous system, your body's fight-or-flight response. It mimics a stress response, raising heart rate, blood pressure, and alertness.
Cortisol's bad.
Yeah, it knocks out your deep sleep. It it can ramp up your cholesterol. Coffee contains natural compounds called
cholesterol's bad.
Yeah, diterpens, linked to higher LDL cholesterol, the bad type. It may block vitamin absorption. It disrupts your digestion. It messes with your medication. Caffeine can interact with many medicines. It can amplify or counteract a drug's action or alter how it's processed in the liver, leading to higher levels of increased risk and side effects.
Increased risk is bad.
And it exposes you to microplastics. You three are dead men walking.
Okay.
So
that sounds like a big, large, steaming pile of crap.
Okay. You don't like what it says, so you're going to ignore it.
No, I disagree. I think that's very general, and it's moderation in all things, my friend.
But how many times a day do you drink coffee?
Once.
How do you? Oh, just one.
Just once.
Really?
Not just one, but just once in the morning.
Okay. Because, my father, that's all he drinks. It's like
back in the day, when we had the big chrome coffee thing.
Right.
Sat there. Brewing all day.
Right, yeah. We had one of those.
All day long.
And yeah.
By the end of the day, if you were still drinking it, it was like mud.
Yeah.
It's like tar.
Yeah. But that was the thing, right? You know, back in the day.
Can we just have one rule? Are plants good for you or they're not good for you? Because it seems like it depends on who's talking and what's the scenario. Sometimes they're good for you. Sometimes they're bad.
Coffee is in general.
Eat your vegetables,
Coffee is good for you. It really is. The health benefits far outweigh the downside. All that stuff that you talked about. Yeah, certain people, coffee bothers your digestion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're one of those people, yeah, you probably shouldn't drink it. But for the most part, coffee's benefits are... That did not make a compelling argument that I should stop drinking coffee.
Sure. Well, put that on your headstone. Yeah. I didn't stop drinking coffee.
Isn't cortisol good for you sometimes?
Like, no.
Yeah, if you're... cortisol, if you're recovering...
No, it's fight or flight.
Yeah, and if you're...
And if you need to fight or flight... Yeah,
then it's good
for
you.
You need to have that stuff.
Okay, I rest my case.
But that's not the point. Most people, certainly in this day and age, have
absolute general rules are bad.
They are.
Okay.
Yeah, it says while coffee boosts dopamine. This is about cortisol. While coffee boosts dopamine, creating a temporary high, it also can make you extra anxious. Or when your cortisol is at its natural peak between 7 and 8 in the morning, you're essentially double layering the stress response. This can result in restlessness, jitters, and racing thoughts.
Cortisol's bad.
So, there you go.
Racing is bad.
Tea, on the other hand, doesn't bother you at all.
Yes.
And you still get the caffeine jolt, and it's... Much better for you.
Is there more caffeine in tea?
Or are you just pulling that out of your other end?
I'm pulling it out of my other end. Yeah.
So stop talking. My goodness.
Isn't there more caffeine in tea sometimes than there is in coffee?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
I think that's your new nickname.
What?
Teabag.
Oh, God.
Teabags and Scott with three T's.
Scott's third T brought to you by...
Do I have a name change in our future?
You can change it, but I'm not going to make it official.
Teabags and Scott with three T's with Ziggy and Coach.
Let's go to the Supreme Court. We got Clarence Thomas making some remarks that makes some think that the earlier ruling on gay marriage back in 2015 might be on life support. Settled legal precedent in the U.S. is not, quote, gospel, and in some instances may have been something somebody dreamt up and others went along with, says Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. He delivered his comments Thursday at the Catholic University of America's Columbus Law School in D.C. He says, I don't think any of these cases that have been decided are the gospel. And I do give perspective to the precedent, but the precedent should be respectful of our legal tradition and our country and its laws and be based on something, not just something somebody dreamt up and others went along with. Among the various
like the Constitution?
Yeah. Among the various cases Thomas and his colleagues are expected to weigh in on is a request to overturn the 2015 Obergefell Supreme Court decision that legalized marriage for same-sex couples nationwide. Thomas was part of the 5-4 minority that voted against that decision. So, this is kind of almost a replay of Roe v. Wade, where the storm clouds gathered on that decision before it ultimately was overturned. So maybe we'll be overturning gay marriage here pretty soon.
Have we ever discussed this topic?
I don't know, because I'd love to.
I don't think we have. It's never really come up.
I might have a surprising position for you guys.
Okay. Me first and then you. If you are in a committed gay relationship, and it really is, whatever that looks like, I think you should be able to have the rights of a married person to help support your spouse, whatever you want to call that. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. But I always had a problem with calling it marriage. You don't get to take our name. Marriage, at its very core, is biblical. That's the way I look at it. Marriage, it says, is between a man and a woman, and that's that. You want to call it something else and still give them those benefits? I never had a problem with that. So that's my stand. I'm curious as to yours.
Yeah, I think this. So this goes back to the conservative versus libertarian, right? Or liberal, whatever. I think I would almost want to classify myself more often as a libertarian. I enjoy the idea of freedom. Like, if I got a tree in my yard, it's my tree. If I want to trim it, cut it down, I want to let it grow, I want to water it like crazy, it's my tree, it's my yard. Give me my own freedoms. And I think that's kind of my position. You got two adults, and they want to make decisions about how they live their life. Why not give them the freedom to do that? Now, if they want rights, because they're in a committed relationship, I don't see why that's a problem for the rest of the, let's call them, Bible-believing citizens. I would never want to force religion on anybody. It's a libertarian thing again. You want the freedom to not be religious or follow this religion? That's great. You want to send your kid to private school or public school? That's great. I just think we have too many rules and laws. And, you know, if a gay couple wants to stay together, hey, more power to you. Now, if you want to force it on youngsters and teach them a lifestyle, now I got a problem because now we're taking a little freedom away from the youngsters.
Thomas told those listening to him at the speech that he feels no obligation to hew to precedent, saying if I find it doesn't make any sense. So it will be fun to watch how this review goes. And just I might actually agree
with the earlier court's decision back. It was it 2015?
Yeah.
5-4 in favor of protecting their right to do something. Mm-hmm. That's a freedom thing.
Sure.
And so I'm more libertarian on that.
Back after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on RadioSlot.com. President Biden having some money problems.
He's having well, he can't remember what money is?
Well, it's...
no, yeah. He can't remember where he put it. You know, I haven't heard anything about his health either, though.
No, he's upset. Interesting about that, huh?
He's upset because Ukraine stopped sending the money.
That's right. Former President Joe Biden reportedly struggling to cash in on his years of public service, unlike other former commanders-in-chief, with fewer lucrative speaking gigs.
And I was going to say, nobody wants to hear him mumble?
Yeah, that's right. So no speaking gigs.
I do.
A smaller advance for his memoir.
If you set up Biden in front of a microphone and just put record or video, I would watch that.
I would go watch.
I would watch in a second.
In the modern post-presidency, many profit off their time in office by charging hundreds of thousands of dollars for speaking engagements, earning millions from must-read memoirs, establishing nonprofits, or going back into business. But at 82 years old, coming off an unpopular presidency, combined with concerns about President Trump seeking retribution against companies that show any sort of favor toward Biden, the former president is struggling with money-making ventures. He's had a few speaking engagements since leaving office. He charges anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000, but he's only had a handful of those. His book advance was only $10 million, as opposed to President Obama, who got $60 million. So poor Joe is kind of behind the eight ball.
Wow, I feel so bad for him.
And he only got $10 million advance for a book that no one wants to read.
No one's booking him at $300,000 for a speaking engagement?
$300,000 to $500,000.
I know, but
my gosh.
But if he's not getting engagements, that means he's not even get the low ball. This is just a marketing issue. He needs a better marketer.
No.
I don't know.
Yes. It's who he is. Nobody wants to hear him.
No, if he
doesn't have anything to say.
If he was $20,000, people would hire him.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
just for the name recognition and this and that, but I don't think, yeah.
And by the way, I'm equal opportunity on this. I want to listen to all the former presidents and the current president. If they get in front of a microphone, I just want to listen to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time, it's interesting. Once in a blue moon, it makes me think. Mostly, it's entertaining.
Mr. Biden is also having trouble raising money for his presidential library. One potential donor, his name is John Morgan, based in Florida. He's a personal injury lawyer. He says, quote, "I want an $800,000 refund." He was referring to the nearly $1 million he said he raised for Biden that went to then Vice President Kamala Harris last year after she ran for president. "I don't believe a library were ever..."
It was more of a walk
or
a
jog. Yeah, that's true.
She didn't really run.
Crawl?
He continues, "I don't believe a library will ever be built unless it's a bookmobile from the old days."
This is one of his supporters?
Yeah.
I love that.
Another major donor to the Democrat Party, Susie Buell.
The Biden bookmobile. Let's go.
This other donor says, quote, "No one has asked, but I'm not inclined to give to libraries." A third donor chimed in with, "I'd like him to have a nice library. I just don't see that's where I'm going to spend my money." And a fourth, who was a Biden bundler under a one-time administration and one-time administration official, staying anonymous, replied succinctly, "Me? No way." More than half a dozen people who were once major Biden donors spoke with NBC News, said they harbored no ill will toward Biden, but they wouldn't give to the library or would only give a token amount. A number of them requested anonymity. So, yeah, behind the eight ball all the way.
Is there a library that you would donate to?
Well, the local ones.
Really?
Yeah, because they stock my books, and that's where I spent my early years learning how to write. And so, yes, I mean,
so
the local library.
To a public library.
A public library, yes.
Okay.
I wonder,
I would love to see a stat on how many people are walking through the doors of libraries these days.
Oh, quite a few, actually, if you've ever visited.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. You should go see one. You should learn to read and then go to the library and see what goes on there.
Why would I? I can do that on my phone.
Okay. So I hear the memoir.
I'm telling you, I guarantee you, it's nowhere near what it used to be.
It's quite a bit, though.
I hear the memoir is going
to
be.
Are you pulling that out of your ear?
No, because I know from experience from my visits to the library, it's usually pretty crowded.
What do they have at libraries again?
They got books.
How do you say that?
And movies and other.
Library? What is this place?
Library? Yeah.
Donde está la biblioteca?
The Bo Ox? What are those? We got videos and audio and photo. I mean, there's podcasts.
You illiterate degenerates. Yeah.
So I hear the memoir is going to be a scratch and sniff book.
And that's why it's only 10 million.
Ew.
That's only 10 million. That's why it's only 10 million.
I've yet to think of a library that I would want to donate money towards.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's an entrepreneurial thing. If your business is worth its weight, it'll generate its own income and it'll be okay. If you need donations for it to run.
Well, they run on tax money and it doesn't hurt to throw them a little bit.
That's, I got a problem then. We're using tax money on something that I don't use.
You guys are just illiterate. That's all. Let's go to this generals meeting that Secretary of War Pete Hegseth is going to host next Tuesday. The president's going to be there. Trump tells NBC in a phone call, quote, "It's really just a very nice meeting, talking about how well we're doing militarily, talking about being in great shape, and a lot of good positive things." Of course, all the conspiracy theories suggest that we're going to talk to our generals to prepare for the next war or wherever it is we're doing against Russia or whoever. Hegseth last week summoned hundreds of senior military leaders who are stationed all over the world to Washington for a meeting of the Pentagon's top brass. So is this just a pep rally, or are we preparing to bulldoze Moscow?
Well, first I thought about that. I was thinking I could probably give Trump's speech just from memory. What's he going to say?
We got the best military.
Best military we've ever had.
Believe me.
Believe me. I'm telling you, and I don't need to give you examples. It's the best we've ever had under any presidency. And it's good because under the last regime, we had the worst, and now it's the best. In a matter of months, we've turned it around. Like, I think you give the whole speech.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
All right. Coach, any comment?
Yeah. I am curious, though. Like, are they planning something?
I don't know. Probably not.
Well, he's been big on staying out of foreign wars.
That's right. And something like this that would generate this kind of publicity and attention prior to making a plan to do something, no, it's kind of out of their character or out of their, not in their playbook. Mm. If we were going to plan on a major war somewhere, we would not publicize this kind of meeting.
Yeah. So. That I agree with. The one thing that has me thinking, though, is Russia has kind of ramped up some of their attacks and stuff on Ukraine in the last week. Mm. And apparently violated some of the discussions or agreements, minor might they be. And so maybe no longer playing nice with Trump and the U.S. as to, hey, can we de-escalate and end this thing? Seems like he's escalating. So,
well, Trump made some remarks the other day that Ukraine could win under certain circumstances, and that kind of raised some eyebrows that perhaps the relationship between Putin and Trump has kind of soured a little bit, and it's... Anyway, this whole meeting has really fueled some of the conspiracy folks and all the chatter, and it's. I thought it would be fun to talk about.
I think it's another PR opportunity, and there's not there's no PR opportunity that he would ever pass up. Chance for him to get in front of a microphone, he's going to take it.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the things that bothers me
about Trump.
Yeah, it's just there's sound bites all the time. Just go do more stuff and stop talking so much. It's just. Stop tweeting at 3 in the morning.
You're just upset that he's not tweeting to you or texting to you.
I'm a little offended.
I have a different perspective, but I love the fact that he does that. And I have always loved the fact that he does that because rarely do you have to wonder what he's thinking, because I think he's very transparent in that.
Yeah, I think he's swung the pendulum over to overshare. Like, we hear from you so often.
You know, you're never going to get perfect, but the fact of the matter is, it was day less than one, when he had the entire press corps into the Oval Office and said, go. No parameters, just said, let me have it. And he continues to do that.
Yeah,
no,
I like that.
No other president has ever done that.
Well, correct. And I appreciate that. But going to all these little gatherings and getting a microphone thing, you know, even the Charlie Kirk funeral memorial service or whatever, he gets up and he goes last. And I turned it off.
He is the president.
I listened to Erica and I thought she was wonderful in what she shared. And then he gets up there and it's kind of like, do we really need to hear from him right now and all these other side issues? Like, this is a memorial service. Yeah, like, keep it to the memorial service.
I don't agree with that.
No, have a press conference later if you want to talk about other stuff. But
the people that know say he would not have been elected without Charlie Kirk.
I get that. And get up and speak, for sure. Do you have to go last? I think the spouse goes last. For me, it would be a little bit more respectful if Erica had spoke last. And there's part of him that just feels like white noise. He talks so many times, so often. And a lot of it's repetition.
But see, we've said that's been the problem with him forever.
Yeah, it's becoming white noise.
Yeah, but it was always white noise. None of it, you know, just the fact that he says too much with too many words, and that's who he is. He just does. He rambles.
I think at this point, I would rather go to one of Biden's post-presidential speaking engagements and just hear him, because I think it'd be entertaining.
And watch him pee himself.
Because you don't hear from him anymore.
And you can watch Biden pee himself.
Well,
you know, speaking of Charlie Kirk's memorial, before the memorial, they had around 60,000 inquiries for new chapters at high schools and colleges.
It's ramping up daily.
Yeah. After the memorial, they were now at 120 inquiries for high schools and colleges. So 120,000.
Yeah.
So it's
I just want to be clear.
It is expanding
new ones.
Bigly.
And those are all new ones.
Yes.
And those are pending.
That's ones. Right. So that the Kirk impact continues.
Did he say how many chapters already exist?
No, not in this tweet. No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's a big deal.
Just curious.
Yeah. Coming up, we have women behaving badly. It's a good one today, and ties in with ICE and protesting and boom, 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 all that stuff.
Oh, I think I may have ICE, a gist as to what this one is.
That's right.
And then, if this is it, I love this one.
Yes. Ziggy's Riff, Scott's postgame reports, and Coach's Corner, all that coming up right after this. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Women behaving badly this week takes us to Massachusetts.
Yes, it does.
Where a Massachusetts woman watched in despair after her car rolled into a lake after she stopped to yell at ICE agents who were arresting a migrant. A clip of the incident in the town of Upton was posted to social media by Fox News correspondent Bill Melugan, who got it from an ICE source. And the picture shows, let me turn the screen so you guys can see it. The picture shows this young lady looking at her silver SUV.
Yes, this is the one.
It is going into the water.
So she just didn't put on the parking brake?
She jumped out of the car, did not put the parking brake on, went to yell at the ICE agents, and her car continued to roll forward into the water where it sank. And you can see her standing on the bank here, looking at her phone, trying to figure out what man to call to come and get the car out.
You gotta love that.
She is not named, but whoever you are, young lady in Massachusetts, you are this week's winner of the Women Behaving Badly Award.
Yes.
Well deserved. Love the instant karma. By the way, we were talking about Turning Point USA.
Mm-hmm.
At this moment, of this, whatever this was, 900 colleges chapters, 1,200 high school chapters total. There's some other chapters that are not tied directly to colleges or high schools. Total presence, 3,500 chapters across various institutions.
See, that makes me question the request for 120,000 new chapters. They only have 3,500 right now. Well, do we have 120,000 colleges and high schools in this country?
I would say colleges and high schools, probably.
Methinks thou protest too loudly. Too many. Ooh, there we go. That's my post game.
Okay.
Well, too many.
Too many.
It just hits you like a ton of bricks.
Too many.
We got Ziggy's refs. Ziggy, what do you have today?
So my favorite word is drool. It just rolls off the tongue.
Okay.
I'll see myself out.
Okay.
Coach's Corner?
No, post game. It's your turn.
Post game. Scotch Third Tee today brought to you by Transmission. It's the third tee, and it this lady forgot to check which what condition her transmission was in. It was still engaged, and it reminds me of an interview I watched just last night. Diane Sawyer interviewed Jeremy Renner. Same thing. He had that accident January 1st, 2023, where he got out of his snowcat, 14,000 pound snowcat. He forgot to check the transmission was still engaged. He didn't put on the parking brake. He steps out onto the track and it rolls him.
Mm-hmm.
And he barely survived. It's a brilliant, it's only 37 minutes long. I think Disney Plus or Hulu. Very interesting account of the trauma, another T. That he went through because of his transmission, and he should have taken care and thought about what the condition was that he was in.
Okay.
And too many things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Too many things going on. You lose track. You too many rules, too many restrictions. Let's be free.
All right.
In the words of Mork from Ork from Mork and Mindy, fly. Be free. Throwing the eggs up in the air. He thought they were babies.
That's true.
Fly, yeah. Be free. And he would, bam, hit the ground. And kind of like my whole commentary.
Okay. Coach's Corner, what do you got, Coach?
So 6,000 colleges.
In the United States of America.
95,852 public schools. Just, you were asking about that, so.
All right, do you have a quote for us today?
Or? I do.
All right.
Thank you. I wanted to answer that, so just...
Okay.
Staying with Charlie Kirk. Never underestimate the power of your voice and the impact you can have on the world when you speak up for what you believe in. Charlie Kirk.
Nice. And that has left us all speechless.
Yeah, I'm still back to that number. Like, if there's 195,000 high schools and there's 6,000 universities, then we're 201,000 combined. You're telling me 120 of those. So you're saying like 60% of all the schools are asking for,
you know,
Turning Point USA chapters?
So you're not thinking.
I think it's been exaggerated a little.
No, you're not thinking. It doesn't mean that means one person from every school. You could have 100,000 people from, or whatever, thousands of people from each school, or 10 from each school, or whatever. It doesn't necessarily mean every one of those is a different school. And these are inquiries.
Okay, and in the words of Charlie Kirk, let's find some common ground here and define the terms before we move forward.
Sure.
So this statistic could be misrepresenting.
No.
It could be a little skewed.
Inquiries.
It's difficult to measure because it's confusing. At the minimum, it's confusing.
I don't think it's confusing. I think it lacks a certain amount of detail.
And I'll set my mic down.
Well, no, don't do that.
I think you should.
Okay. Ba-dum-bum. Well, it's a mystery, and one we will have to work on solving next week. Drake and Scott with Ziggy and Coach on Radioslot.com. Thanks for listening. Ooh. And it's time for Mary to throw her hat in the air.
Good night, Grace.